You're listening to the Music Generation Longford podcast, your place to hear news, events and interviews about music in Longford. Hello, you're very welcome to this episode of the Music Generation Longford podcast. My name is Rachel Masterson, here to bring you all the news that we have for you this month. And of course, our new term is starting, so there's lots going on. We're very excited to be back in person, launching our Drumlish Music Hub next Tuesday, the 14th of September, launching our Ballymahan Traditional Ensemble also next week. We'll be taking our Illion Pipes in person also next Tuesday. And in the most exciting news, the Longford School of Rock is back and is now under the Music Generation Longford programming, and that is kickstarting next Saturday, the 18th of September. So in this episode of the Music Generation Longford podcast, we talk to Longford School of Rock original founder Shane Crossan. We'll also speak to our music educator Laura O'Gara, who will be managing the Longford School of Rock alongside our music educator David Crowe. But first up, we speak to Music Development Officer of Music Generation Longford, Mary Jane Sweeney, about the ongoing work Music Generation is doing in Longford and the exciting news of the takeover of the School of Rock. I am on with Music Development Officer of Music Generation Longford, Mary Jane. How are you?
Good, thanks, Rachel. How are you?
I am great. I'm really excited to be chatting to you about the development of Music Generation Longford taking over the School of Rock. It's a really, really exciting time and a great way to start the new academic year. But it's not the first thing that Music Generation has been doing in Longford. It's been a busy 2 years since it kick-started. So tell me, how has Music Generation been doing in Longford over the last 2 years?
Well, Rachel, as you know yourself, we got up and running in early 2020. And we had a bit of a rocky start, I think we can safely say. You know, we got up and running and then we were instantly faced with COVID-19 and the entire country going into a lockdown. So it was quite difficult, but we moved past that and, you know, we started to figure out how we could work from an online platform and, you know, responded as creatively as possible to the pandemic and what we were faced with. So it just took a lot of refiguring and rethinking around what the programme was going to look like going forward. We were very lucky then to have recruited a fantastic team of local musician educators. And then we were able to get up and running with pilot programmes and music hubs from the online platform from October to December. These were a great, great success and gave us great confidence then going into 2021, knowing that the interest was there and people, or children and young people, were really looking forward to these programmes being rolled out and willing to participate even from Zoom and the online platform.
It was really inspiring to see how well both the music educators and the participants in the programmes adapted to the online setting. Nobody shied away and everyone really, really took it, as you said, creatively and really strongly, and everything was an absolutely huge success. But there was so many different programmes. Tell me about some of the various programmes that were running over the course of 2020 and into 2021.
There was definitely some nerves around teaching from online, and which were very valid, but we provided as much training and support as we could in delivering these programs online. And the musician educators were just, I can't get over how fantastic they were, how even though they were, some of them were nervous about this move to online teaching, just went with it and rolled with it and faced these problems or nerves head on. And I think without that, and without those musician educators, our amazing programs that really got going in 2021 wouldn't have happened or wouldn't have been as successful as they were. We set up a fantastic intergenerational tin whistle class that ran for 6 weeks. So the idea behind that was grandparents, parents, and children would come on once a week in the evening for their tin whistle class. And we'd hoped if we got maybe five or six families, that would be brilliant. But we ended up having to divide it into two sessions. And I think I ended up posting out something like 120 tin whistles. It was amazing. And even watching on one of the sessions, on one of the boxes, you had a grandparent and then you had three grandchildren on another box from their home, because they were so used to seeing their granddad every week. Because of the lockdown, that had totally stopped. And this was their way of spending some time with each other virtually. And from week to week, they were going online then with each other to do their practice and to learn their songs that they were being taught each week. And I thought that was amazing. And that was the whole intention behind it. And I love how it really, really just took off. So with that, we also launched our traditional ensemble as well, which was really, really successful. Like that, we had hoped to just get a few participants and get going. And, you know, this was a pilot and a taster. And we ended up having such interest, we had to divide that into three different groups as well. And then the other traditional programme that we were able to get up and running were the Illenpipes. And I can safely say there was a lot of nerves around trying to teach the Illenpipes online. I don't know, Rachel, if you know the Illenpipes well, but it's a very intricate instrument with a lot of parts, and it would be one of the more difficult ones to teach, never mind teaching from your home and zooming into somebody else's home and trying to explain all of this. But it worked. It very, very strangely worked, and it was fantastic. And the young people who got involved just, they continued to learn and grow and develop, and they are really looking forward to getting their lessons this term in person, but it was a great success. Back in 2020, when we first got up and running, we created a partnership with Longford County Childcare Committee, and we decided that we would roll out a programme in their childcare facilities. This got up and running in 2021, but unfortunately, because we went into that lockdown just after Christmas, our early years program had to be delivered once again online. It was fantastic. We dropped out instrument packs to the 11 childcare facilities, and the intention was to do one session with one of the rooms in each of these creches on a weekly basis. But because we were online, it allowed the facilities to set up the Zoom link in each of the rooms. So instead of reaching 15 children in one facility, we were able to reach up to 30 and even 45 on a weekly basis. So I suppose that was the one benefit of Zoom delivery. We were able to reach so many more children, and they really got the benefit of it, and they really, really enjoyed that. Alongside that, we continued to work with the youth services from an online platform, delivering music production, guitar lessons, drumming lessons, and they were a huge success. But we are looking forward to getting back in person with all of them soon. We also got a fantastic music hub up and running, where we taught small group tuition in guitar, bass, ukulele, vocals, keyboard, drums, music production, and songwriting. This was our first pilot program back in October of 2020. And it was the program that gave us confidence to move forward with our online teaching in all of these different scenarios. And when we came back in January 2021 for our new term, it continued to grow and grow and grow, and really had become something fantastic by the time we finished up after the summer term at the end of June. And then, unfortunately, due to all of the lockdowns, we weren't able to get to primary schools right away. But after Easter, we offered taster programmes to all of the primary schools around the county, and we're on a mission to support as many of them that came back. So we were very lucky to get 15 primary schools on board, and we delivered 4-week taster programmes, once again from an online platform, delivering in the ukulele, African drumming, and early years. This was a huge success, and a lot of these primary schools have signed up now for a long-term programme that will run over this academic year in these instruments and even many more.
So there's so much going on, really, and the, like you said, the there was a lot of actual really positive benefits to the Zoom. As you said, you reached more children than maybe would have been able to attend a class, a physical class. And I'm getting an amazing image there now of the grandparents and the children then getting back together in person and practicing their tin whistle together over their cup of tea when they were able to visit each other again. So it really, there was a lot of good that Music Generation was able to do for people and families across the lockdown, and that's really, really very exciting and very beneficial to the whole county. Tell me now, moving back into real life and in-person classes, that we've never had the opportunity to be in person. What will it be like now to launch community-based music programs?
I can safely say we are very, very excited to launch these programs for this academic year in person. It'll be absolutely invaluable to the learning for the children and young people. While they were able to get started online, the in-person lessons and tuition and programs are fantastic. And to see the energy that the musician educators put into their teaching online, I can't wait to see what it's going to be like in real life. And I think there is a great buzz and atmosphere with all the musician educators at the moment that this will be going in person, and they will be going from, say, school to school or into a music hub or a traditional ensemble to provide tuition firsthand in person. But of course, we will be following government guidelines and taking all necessary measures to keep everybody involved as safe as possible.
I think that's all anyone can ask, and I know everybody is really excited to get back in person, from the, like you said, the tutors who are working really, really hard to get it all set up, to the young people who are really looking forward to getting back with their friends again. And that is evident with a lot of the emails and the communications that we're getting. So one of the big news stories for Music Generation for the new academic term is the move of Longford School of Rock to Music Generation Longford. So we will be taking over the running of that from this September. So tell me more about that move.
Yeah, Rachel, this is a very exciting initiative for us. Firstly, I think I have to say Shane Crossan was one of the first people to welcome me to the county when I started my job way back in 2020. He really made me feel so welcome and was willing to give up some of his time to show me the different places that would be fantastic for concerts, venues, and introduce me to anybody he felt I should be introduced to. So really from the get-go, there has been a great friendship forming there between myself and Shane. And it was amazing to see and hear about the fantastic work that Longford School of Rock has done and how it's developed over the years. Their ethos to support young people to play in that community setting and encouraging their development and building their confidence is just inspiring, and it's so fitting with the ethos of Music Generation as well. So they've achieved so much, and it's just been a credit to all the organisers and everybody involved. So I was delighted when Shane approached me about moving the School of Rock over to Music Generation Longford, because I really think it will be a great fit. And I think the conversations that Shane and I have had over the last few years about, you know, community practice and music in community practice, and just about how we should go about encouraging children and young people to be themselves, to be creative, and how music is that tool to build up their confidence and to help them find their inner voice. We're so on the same page about everything. I just think it will be a fantastic move over to Music Generation Longford.
And I know a lot of the young parents and young parents. I know a lot of the young people and their parents are so excited about that move. I know the School of Rock never had the opportunity to get online, and understandably so, because as you said, their ethos is about playing in person in that community setting, having the band jam, having that friendship and that tribe. So it's brilliant for everybody that it will now be back in person and that young people can get their bands up and running again. And a lot of young people who have moved on, who maybe have grown older, or of course who have grown over during the pandemic, and who now want to come back as mentors. There's also that opportunity there, because I know it's such a big heart for the young people of Longford, all the young little rockers and music makers who have made this a really important part of their life and their Saturdays. So the opportunity to come back as a mentor is absolutely brilliant for them as well. So what other plans has Music Generation Longford for this year, for anyone who maybe is interested in a different instrument?
Well, Rachel, we are in the process of setting up a music hub in Drumlish that's going to offer an array of instruments to be taught in small group settings in guitar, ukulele, bass guitar, drums, keyboard, and when government guidelines allow, vocals. We're also going to move our traditional ensemble to an in-person setting in Ballymahon, which will be run weekly. And our Illan Pipe tuition will also be moving to in-person. In addition to that, we will be working with some of the secondary schools around the county, as well as some of the primary schools that we've previously worked in from online last year, but now in person. So we're really excited to get all of that off the ground from mid-September, while we also plan to expand and grow from January as well. So, and I'm also excited to say we're going to get involved with Culture Night this year, and we're running a drumming workshop with two of our fantastic musician educators in Collins Barracks. And we will be participating in Cruachan Arts Festival and running an early years workshop on the Saturday and a drumming workshop on the Sunday in Temperance Hall.
Absolutely loads going on, and what a kickstart to the academic year, especially not only the scheduled programming, but to get involved in the local arts events such as Culture Night and the Cruachan Arts Festival. And people at home, do make sure to follow Culture Night Longford and the Cruachan Arts Festival on social media to get all the updates of what's going on, but of course on our own social media, Music Generation Longford as well. Mary Jane, thank you so much.
Thank you, Rachel.
Thanks so much, Mary Jane. There is so much going on with Music Generation in Longford. Whether you want to join the School of Rock, the Drumlish Music Hub, our trad ensemble in Ballymahon, or learn the Illan Pipes, there is lots for you to choose from. So do make sure to stay tuned to the Music Generation Longford social media for the most up-to-date news. Next up, I had a chat with Shane Crossan, who is the founding member of Longford School of Rock. Shane tells me all about the legacy of the school, some of the more memorable moments of the years, and what he's most looking forward to about the future of School of Rock Longford. I'm here with Shane Crossan, the original founder of School of Rock Longford and all-round champion of the arts in Longford. How's it going?
Hello, Rachel.
We want to talk to you today about the School of Rock. You were, as we mentioned, the original founder of that, and it has a lasting legacy here in Longford. It has been a huge success. So tell me about how the School of Rock got started.
Well, Rachel, I suppose I've told this story a few times before. My day job, I work with early school leavers, and I run a program to help early school leavers stay in school. And back in 2013, I happened to be in Ballymahon, and I was in two houses, and both were young lads around 13 or 14. Both were into music, and both of them hadn't left their houses since school, literally hadn't left their houses since schools closed in May. And I was going, my God, that's weird. And it's so sad. And Their bedrooms were covered in posters and guitars and everything. And I said, are you in a band? Because I was never in a band growing up in secondary school. And they said, no. And I was driving home that evening and I said to myself, well, why aren't they in a band? Why can't young people who like music be in a band? And I started to kind of investigate it a bit. And I realized that it's actually really, really difficult to meet up and start a band with other teenagers. And the reasons are very simple. Your best friends may not want to be musicians. So you need a social network. You need a network of people and acquaintances. And teenagers, that's not easy for them. You need great people skills. You need to be able to compromise with other band members. You need to be able to problem solve. You need some place to rehearse, usually in the drummer's room, the house. You need transport. You need freedom of movement. So even before you get to practicing your instruments, there's all of these skills and behaviors that need to be there. So it's no wonder that it's a hard thing for teenagers. So I said to them, would you, if I set up a program for young lads like you, where you could meet other young lads, young ones, would you come? And they said, yes. So we called it School of Rock. The name had a bit of cachet. We did it in Temple Mike Glebe on a Saturday afternoon for 2 hours. And, you know, I suppose I was very naive. I thought you just put young people together and magic happens. And, you know, you just provide the space and they all just start jamming and this in beautiful harmony. And it doesn't work like that. Around 16 or 17 people came to it and we were really delighted. And we did it for 8 weeks. And it was only kids who were maybe hanging on to school by their fingernails. And then they started bringing their friends who were like good at school and that. And we're going, okay, well, music doesn't care if you're, you know, if you're a Barney Brain or if you're halfway out the door. It doesn't care about your educational status. So then the school grew. It was a program for the first 2 years in school, completion program. And then I was told that you can't, it's too much fun. You can't do that. And it wasn't developmental enough for the matrix of School of Rock. So then we just ran it as a voluntary thing. And it just grew. It grew for any kid who was in secondary school. And then all these little bread snappers who were 11, 12 started to come in. So then we put it on a junior School of Rock. And then it grew and we moved to county. We moved to Longford ETB's post-leaving cert school in the county barracks called Longford College of Further Education. And that's a fantastic little school. It's around 7 or 8 classes, lovely little mini school, perfect for music. And then it grew again. And in the finish up, like we had around 14 tutors and we were running programs from 9 in the morning till 6 in the evening. We were getting through, we had around 186 students. We put on concerts in backstage. I realized that teenagers, you either have backstage, which is really, you have to book it 6 months in advance, and it's very, formal. And it's not the, it's tough place for you when you're for your first gig. You know, your first gig should be in your living room for your aunts and uncles, and your second gig should be on a truck at a festival somewhere in your hometown. And the third gig should be backstage, you know? So I bought an old trailer and been doing it up as a gig rig. And we use that to run concerts. We created this kind of a project called the Dr. Finbar Platypus and the Carnival of Adolescent Antics. So we brought in music and art and that. And then the last thing I'd say, I suppose, is that our last concert that was going to happen 2 weeks after the COVID lockdown, and we had a rockestra. So we had planned this night of a rock orchestra that would play 9 songs from Johnny B. Goode right up to Teen Spirit, all through the pantheon of rock music. And we had 45 kids on stage with maybe 14 South American surdu samba drums. We had 8 lead guitarists. We had 12 singers. It was absolutely amazing. And we never got to perform it. So I was very sad about that. And then COVID happened and we haven't opened since. By the time COVID was happening, I was doing around 18 hours a week to make it happen. And it had become so big, I was hoping somebody, some talented musician, teacher, tutor would come along and say, hey, I'll take over this. So I brought it as far as I could. And then COVID happened. And I said to myself, you know, no more than anybody else, my life had moved on. I developed other projects. But every time I met a kid around town, when's School of Rock open? When's School of Rock open? Mammies, daddies. So that's where it's at now.
And it really is a testament to how much everybody loved and got from it. And I know in Music Generation, we heard about it all the time as well. And, you know, if we had heard anything about School of Rock or if we were going to offer something similar. So it, there's definitely a lot of love for it there. But looking back over the years, what are some of the most memorable highlights from the School of Rock?
Well, you probably would have to ask a young person that, because I'm not a musician and I'm not a young person. What I do is I animate. I make things happen. I gravitate towards the arts and the creative. So, like, the fact that I have a few moments that I walked away feeling, you know, kind of on cloud nine. One of them would have been, We did this thing called Beats in the Barracks. It was a 1 week project where we brought over these two musicians from Mayo, a percussionist and a singer-songwriter, and we had around 45 kids, and they came up with an ensemble, an orchestra, a piece of music, a 17-minute long original piece of music, that what was it called? Cowboys and Indians, I think it was called. And it was, and we performed it in the Temperance Hall on Crinan and Oak. And, you know, that orchestra, that big sound that hits you in the chest of, like, you know, the volume and the you know, the cadence of all of that music just hitting you. And the fact that that could come together in 1 week, that was spectacular. But I suppose, you know, you could see the young people who come to Band Jam, they came for much more than music. There'd be a bit of flirting between the boys and the girls. It was people who had found their tribe, you know, because, like, let's face it, rock music is not our rock pop, you know. There's no jazz, there's no trad music, but basically anything else went, you know. But, you know, a lot of that music isn't popular in secondary school. You know, a lot of the kids would get slagged for, you know, being into heavy metal or that, or being into rock. So they definitely found their tribe. And, like, there's 10 minutes between, in Band Jam, it's a 2 hour session, there's 10 minutes of a break, and you can just see the little synergy, the crack, the socializing, the flirting, you know, that went on. And it was managed safely, but it wasn't overmanaged, you know. And the fact that, you know, the fact that kids who went in there as teenagers, they went in because they wanted to be there. It's not one of those things, those after school things that parents brought their kids to it because it was good for them. It fleshed out the CV and augmented the Leaving Cert results, you know, on the way to college. This was kids who wanted to give it a go. Around 70% of the kids who came to Band Jam stayed with it. You know, I mean, it's not for everybody. And I can imagine it's absolutely terrifying for a kid to play in front of another kid for the first time. Absolutely terrifying. But that's what it's all about. You know, performance is the lifeblood of music. And that's what they got in School of Rock every Saturday.
Absolutely. And I love the tribe element of it. You mentioned that a few times. It just brings that extra element of it, that they're learning a life skill but creating real friendships. And good for the old mental health as well to have that there for them on a weekly and consistent basis. So
absolutely,
yeah. So it's great that it's continuing in a similar guise, and hopefully Music Generation can do it proud. What are you most looking forward to about the future of School of Rock?
I suppose, well, School of Rock and Music Generation in general, I'd like to see the distinctions between different types of music. I'd love to see them just diminishing. You know, I'd love to see a kid that plays trad get an opportunity to experience jazz. I'd love everybody to have a go at samba drumming or African drumming. I'd love there for there to be more performance opportunities for young people, because that's, you have to just, this is, we're on this night, you're here. And you know what? Chances are it'll only be their wider family and some friends, whatever it is. That's where everybody starts, is, you know, with the friends and family. And like, you know, they're young musicians like this, when you get good enough, you can go to the larger pieces of arts infrastructure, like art centres and theatres and that. But you need all these little informal opportunities to play music and to make mistakes, to be allowed to fail, and to be allowed to fail really badly. Like, that's so important. Like, you know, that we're not looking for perfection, you know. We're not looking for a grade score. We're not looking for a distinction, you know, and a piece of paper that says you're this level of qualification on this instrument now. We just perform. That's really it, you know.
Absolutely fantastic. Well, look, Shane, thank you so much. I know we'll stay in touch, and you've been great to approach Music Generation, and there's a lot we can learn from each other, I'm sure. And as you're running more gigs and festivals throughout the years, hopefully the School of Rock can feature on many's a stage across Longford and beyond. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rachel. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much, Shane. And it is no doubt Longford School of Rock would not be where it is today without all of Shane's dedication and hard work. So it is a pleasure for Music Generation Longford to take over the running of this, with great thanks to Shane and all of the hard work he has done today to get it to where it is. Finally, we hear from one of our music educators, Laura O'Gara. Laura taught with the School of Rock for a number of years, and she'll now manage it and the weekly running of it alongside David Crowe, one of our other music educators who you would have heard on previous podcasts. She tells us about some of her most memorable moments and what she's most looking forward to about the future of Music Generation Longford School of Rock. I am here with Laura O'Gara, one of the music educators for Music Generation Longford, who will be in charge of the running of Longford School of Rock. How are you, Laura?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good, and it's great to have you on, because you have been involved in the Longford School of Rock for a couple of years now. Tell me a bit about your time working there.
I became involved with the School of Rock when we returned to Longford after a couple of years of living in Galway. I really wanted to work in music when I moved back to Longford, and it just kind of came my way. They were looking for a singing teacher, and I got the phone call, and I was just delighted from day one to be involved.
It's such an integral part of the lives of young people in Longford, and it's a really, really great thing to be involved in, to help nurture that creativity and music in teenagers in Longford, and help them integrate into the community and find friends that may not be in their close circle, but that they can bond with over music and mutual interests. What are some of the most memorable moments from your time at Longford School of Rock?
Oh, you're absolutely right. I think that was one of the things that really always... It's one of my favourite things about the School of Rock was the fact that you had children coming in there every Saturday, and they, you know, come running in the door to meet their friends. But those friends were not friends that they had from school. They didn't know each other outside of the School of Rock, but the bonds that they made while in the School of Rock, it was just an amazing thing to be part of, really. I think, you know, there's a lot of highlights, but definitely I think one of my favorite things is such a simple thing, but I always say this, one of my highlights from the School of Rock, and it's such a simple thing, would be that during our break, you know, 10, 15 minute break, that the children would just naturally, or the young people would just naturally form into little groups, and they were teaching each other. And I just loved that. That always made me so happy, walking through the halls during the break time, watching, you know, the organic nature of the way the children were able to learn from each other. So maybe one of them would have been working on a song on their guitar during the week. They can't wait to get in on the Saturday, and during the break time they're sitting in the hallway showing one of their friends this song, and there's two people out with two guitars, and then somebody else comes over. And I think we can give them guidance and we can teach them and give them their tuition, but when they're taking it to that other level where they have the interest in music to follow it themselves and pursue their own learning, I think that really was one of the highlights for me. I mean, there was lots of other highlights, don't get me wrong. I think the time we had two composers come down and do a week-long workshop with the group, and that was a really exciting project. The children got the young people got so much out of that. They got to compose their own piece of music, and it was a really, really, really great song. It involved the entire group working together, and that's a good big group of young people and musicians singing and playing together. But that sense of accomplishment that they got, you know, writing their own piece and performing it at the end of the week, that was a wonderful opportunity for them. And I think it's definitely something I'll always remember, and I think a lot of the young people will always remember that too.
That sounds absolutely amazing, and what an opportunity for them. And I know a lot of the young people will start at a young age. They could come in from first year and onwards and right up through till when they finish, and then they graduate on to becoming mentors. So it really does become a really big part of their adolescent lives. And how was it for you watching those young people develop throughout the years?
Yeah, I think that's one of the very good things that the School of Rock also did. So as a young person comes in, they're coming in maybe in kind of first year of secondary school, they've got some ability already, they're playing maybe guitar a couple of years. Then throughout secondary school, they're growing with they're growing as the years go by, and they're growing in their musical ability and their confidence. Then by the time, you know, a teenager is coming to the kind of 15, 16 years of age, then they're able to go to the next level, whereby they are able to turn around and help the younger teenagers. And it works both ways. There's that sense of satisfaction for the older teenagers that they are now in a position to share their skills with younger teenagers, but also for the younger teenagers to be able to look up to and emulate their peers and see that, you know, that level of respect is given to them. You know, if you work hard and you practice your instrument, you'll get to the point whereby you're not just learning, but you're also giving back to the younger members. So yeah, very good.
Fab, and hopefully a tradition that we can continue. So tell me, what are you most looking forward to about the future of Music Generation Longford School of Rock?
Oh, I'm looking forward to lots of things. This is going to be a great collaboration. I suppose I'm really looking forward to the children and the young people just being able to come back in and play music together again. It's been such a long time since anyone has been able to, us adults included, all of us musicians, whether we're young musicians or old musicians, it's been so long since we've been able to play music together. So firstly, I just can't wait to get the bums back on seats, as I say, and, you know, and get that in-person learning started back. So that's the first thing. That's going to be really exciting. I think it'll be great for everybody, us tutors and for the kids. I think I'm actually really excited also that we now have the ability to bring the kids to another level with their music journey. So we have the School of Rock. Traditionally, they would come, they would learn their instrument, they would get a chance to come together and collaborate with other young musicians, form bands and perform. We always were, you know, big on our performance. Now we can do all of that, but we also have, you know, with Music Generation, we have such a large bank of instruments. We have such a large group of tutors from different disciplines. We can offer the children and young people the opportunity maybe to create their own music, write their own songs, and then to record that and have a finished product for themselves. But not only to just go in and passively record their music, but also learn about that process of how they can record and how that whole process works. We have tutors now that can help them with all of those aspects of music, and I think that's quite exciting. I think really the imagination will be our limit, so we will be much more able to see what it is that the young people would like to do, and we will be in a great position to facilitate that. So I think that's very exciting.
The opportunities really are endless. Laura, thank you so much. I'm really, really excited to launch this and get the ball rolling for everybody.
Yeah, I'm very excited too. Can't wait to see the young people again.
Well, it is absolutely clear that everybody involved in the future of Longford School of Rock's move to Music Generation is very, very excited. There is so much opportunity and lots in store. So please do stay tuned to Music Generation Longford on social media and, of course, Longford School of Rock Facebook page. We also have longfordschoolofrock.ie as the website to keep up to date with all of the classes and programmes running. We have lots of various programmes running across County Longford and not just in Longford Town School of Rock. So as I previously mentioned, do stay tuned for anything that you would like to get involved in. We offer group lessons in a wide variety of instruments. And if you would like any information, or if you would like to sign up to Longford School of Rock, to Drumnish Music Hub, or to our Ballymahon Trad Ensemble, please get in touch. Music Generation Longford at lwetb.ie. Thank you so much for listening. I wanna go where the lights say my name. Waste a talent just like mine is such a crying shame. And I hate to say I told you so, but you know I'm right. So go and tell your dad.